So the next talk will be by Fotios Georgatos. I hope I pronounced it right, from Greece. And he's talking about how to really do it, how to have several servers with several tasks. And I'm curious to see what gold, silver, and bronze servers really are. So.
Right. I think most of the people here, they often have to deploy Samba within a network so that they give services to people. Samba itself has a few dependencies. It needs to have a proper DNS. A time service is also required, and a few more that we'll see soon. This is what we're going to talk about, and I hope that you will join this in discussion, and you may contribute, because I consider this to be a work in progress, really. What triggered this presentation? Most companies rarely have constant requirements for their network setups. In fact, a healthy startup will face exponential growth rate. We start with a small number of users, probably 5, and then it goes to 10, 20, 30, and hopefully, if the company succeeds, it will go to 100 or more. Planning ahead for growing up minimizes growing pains. And we should never, ever think of redundancy and backing up as optional and ad hoc. Any person that has lost data knows why this sentence is here. So what has all this to do with Samba? There is a guy named Steve Tragot, I hope I pronounced his name correctly, and Joel Huddleston, that presented the paper at LISA 98, which is called Bootstrapping in Infrastructure. The most important page of this paper you may find on your desk. It's actually not this side, but this side of the page. And you may see that there is a certain order and very concrete steps for setting up a multi-user general purpose network. This paper is addressing the need of networks that cover thousands of clients, but the principle should really be the same for a small network as well. You may find in this paper that we initially start with a system called Gold Server, and then we eventually bring the directory server, authentication server, in parallel to that time server, and these are both dependencies to the file service. In our case, this is Samba now. It could also be other kind of file services. And the rest is about clients, setting up printing, mail and so on. I suggest that you read actually that paper to find out in detail what these boxes mean. The point to remember here is there is a very concrete order, and there are dependencies, and we have to work for these dependencies. Because this guy now introduced the idea of the gold server, and I bring another two systems for this setup, for backwards compatibility, I call them gold, silver, bronze. Anyway, let's go to the next one. And this is how it looks like. This is the other page of your paper. So what you will find here is three systems. The gold is actually a machine which is not for daily production. It is an installation server. It can hold the backups. It's a system that, if it goes down, only the administrator will notice. The users have never access to this machine. It's a machine for maintaining the network. The next system is silver, and its most important task is to hold the user base, which nowadays this is naturally a directory service implemented with OpenLDAP and, or something similar. The rightmost server is the bronze box, which is really the file server. It's a place where Samba will run, and the place where users' files will reside. Let's look into them in more detail. So the gold server has the role that Tragot is calling installation server. You may add CVS here for the etc directories of the other systems. In this way, you can gracefully roll back in case you do something wrong while maintaining the other systems for whatever reason. It's also a replication system for them because it holds complete copies of the disk contents. It holds the state of the business, information-wise. It has online archives taken from the other critical systems in the company's network, and that could also include development servers that often exist within a LAN. It is not a daily production system, and the appropriate storage for this kind of setup nowadays is external leader disks that may come for a price of less than €2 per gigabyte. USB to zero could be one way to connect them, but there are others, of course. And these are the online backups. An offline backup must also be designed, and the exact specification for it depends, of course, on the requirements of your network, of your LAN. Then we have the silver server, which is the maestro of the network, as far as user services and security policy are concerned. It runs the primary name service, DHCP daemon, so that the Windows clients can get an IP address and so on. It also runs a time service. And another interesting addition is a UPS award daemon that could be hooked with this UPS in the left upper corner. And if you try to do the same also on the other systems, you should definitely do it on bronze, and it's up to you if you want to do it also for gold. It allows for a proper shutdown procedure in case of power failure. I mean, this is an investment of €3,000, so why not pay another €1,000 to protect this equipment in case power goes out and something wrong happens. The directory server is also here. And yeah, the final note on this is that this machine, again, is only meant for administrators to log in, possibly bringing a service up. It's not really meant for the mass amount of users. And the reason for doing so is what we call compartmentalization. We try to separate a system which is very critical for the security policy within the company, because the users are important part of the security policy. So we try to separate this from the bronze server, which is the file service, and where lots of wild things can happen depending on the consumption of resources by your users. So this is a good system to put auditing tools for monitoring network activity and whatever else you think is appropriate for your network. And in this case that we set up this in a company, we also decided that it was the right place to install a mail server and a ticketing system. Other sysadmins may prefer to do this on another separate machine, depending on their budget and how much money they want to spend. We knew the load in that network, and we made that choice, and it seemed to be okay. Availability concerns will probably hint for a RAID 1 setup. It's a system which has your user base. If you lose it, you may easily lose your authentication system. You may not be able to change passwords and modify really the security policy of your network. So you want really availability on this machine. And you don't need something very special of CPU, memory, or disk. It will remain relatively constant over long periods of time, unless you install extra services like what we see there in the second bullet. It's up to you to maintain this the right way. And here we go to the bronze server, which is it's a file server, and this is the machine where somebody sites. The place where users are allowed to bite each other with their tasks, and we know that this thing happens actually within the network. We may set up here a secondary name service, maybe another DHCP. There is some trickery how to do this correctly, and maybe someone from the audience can say something at the end. I don't have the answer. Time service, a secondary time service that should be peering. That's how it's called in the NTP protocol. It should be peering with a silver server, and the UPS daemon to implement the proper shutdown procedure. A replica LDAP service should be here. It should be read-only because it's used really to cache the content existing on the silver system. And it has a referral to the master server so that if someone goes from, let's say, the Unix prompt on bronze to change its password through the right mechanism of PAM, then you actually change the password on your master directory server. There is a very good way on how to implement this in this setup with two systems, where one is the authentication machine, the other one is the file server, and this is written by Olivier Lemaire. Is he here by any chance, by the way? No, okay. The file services can include not only Samba for the Windows clients, but also NFS, Coda, DFS, and what have you. This is also the place to set up a printer server with spooling queues. The spooling queues can hold plenty of megabytes of data, and this is the right system with quite much capacity to install a printer server. It may have also a CVS-3 for developers, and so on. A Unix shell may be given here. Any service which is highly user control load should fit on bronze server because of this argument of compartmentalization that we said. The load which is controllable by users, we should try to restrict on a specific area and manage only that one, and this is the place to do this. Dual CPU is advisable depending on your budget again, and the performance and capacity concerns dictate a right 0, 5 or 10 for this system depending on what you want to do and the cost benefit ratios. An important thing is to set up the UPS correctly. It's quite often the case that someone buys a UPS to protect its major systems, but in the end he doesn't really connect the UPS with the serial port of his main system. Or when he does it, he only connects one, and then the other ones are left on their own. So this is a way to do it in a disciplined fashion. You connect on it not only your servers, but also your hub switches and wireless LAN devices, and your firewall, if you connect to the outside world through a firewall or whatever is that equipment. Make always sure that you don't overload the UPS. You can put on it the development systems and other critical machinery. And in the case that we set up this, we also put the PBX of the company, the phone, the telephone system, and its ISDN terminals. And I think I can show this somewhere here. Yeah. Let's have a look at this picture. This is the UPS. This is actually the silver server. It's one of these subtle XPCs. It's quite small and it's fit for the job. It doesn't really need to be something big and huge like these IBM Xeria 2U systems. They are for another purpose, but they are appropriate for the role of bronze. This is a firewall, a wireless LAN module, and this is a hub. Here are the ISDN terminals, and this is the phone center. This is very useful in case something wrong happens. Taking all these extra steps around your file service will maintain the users happy. Because if you lose your phone during a moment that you have no power, people will not be able to call the outside world and say that there is something wrong and other people maybe should wait more. Also having the wireless LAN and the switching equipment, the networking equipment on the UPS will prevent you, will allow you to continue working from a laptop with a wireless LAN card and and still have a few extra working areas. You may put one monitor on the UPS as a console. It's good to have a couple of laptops with wireless LAN because laptops are quite independent from the power cuts, and this will help to at least move on. You didn't lose your file service yet, you didn't lose lots of parts of your network, so at least the critical things can still happen. Consider every user system on the network as disposable and let users know this. This means that users will never have the expectation that files on their local machines are being in a backup scheme, or if they are, it's actually their responsibility to do this correctly. It's the file server, the only true place that the sysadmins will take care of making the backups in an organized way and maintain data both of present as well as of the past. Make sure you monitor your RAID disks. There's not much reason to have RAID if you don't monitor it, because if one disk fails, then all the strain goes on the other one, and the chances that it's going to fail pretty soon also. So there is only a single system that will require maintenance over time. This is the bronze server, the leftmost machine in this picture. You will have to upgrade it with CPU, memory, and disk capacity. That is being asked depending on your load. If you upgrade this capacity, you will have definitely to follow these upgrades on the gold server as well, so that you never run out of space on the backup server. So let's see some troubleshooting scenarios. If the gold server dies, you run out of two things. You don't have a backup server and installation server. If you use really gold server as the installation mechanism for bringing new systems in the network, then at that point you no longer have that, so you can't add extra clients. More important is that you lose your backup server, and next night, if you have not fixed this, you will not get that, and you get the idea. You have to go to a nearby shop for replacing its hardware, but you can still walk slowly. Why? Because no user notices this problem, and it's only up to you to restore the system for maintaining the backup scheme. During this time, your network runs in degraded mode, in the sense that you actually have a setup which is redundant. It's two plus one servers. Now this plus one of redundancy is out. If one more system gets away, has a problem, then you are going to be in trouble. You will still be able to do some things, but you will definitely lose services. It's not a problem for a period less than a day if you lose it, but then you have a problem with the backup scheme. If the disk subsystem breaks, you should have had a proper backup scheme anyway. I should explain this a little more. A proper offline, off-site backup. It could be tape, but nowadays disks are also cheap and are only four times as more expensive than a tape, so you may choose. Troubleshooting silver and bronze. In case one of these two has a problem, then your priority is to try to push the problem on bronze, on gold server. You will try to take parts from gold, bringing him down, but maintaining the service for your for the users on your LAN. If you have been proactive by buying similar hardware for all three systems, it will be really easy to do this. You can still have slightly different configurations and be able to do this. For example, you could have a two CPU bronze server and single CPUs in gold and silver, but if you arrange it the right way, you will have failover techniques. This will not help you if you have a hard disk problem. If something happens, you are in trouble. But even so, you do have an online backup of last day on gold, and that should give you enough time and efficiency to repair the damage with no painful outcomes, which is a reasonable downtime for a disk failure. If a user runs to you claiming he has lost his files, you can recover the recent version from the gold server. In case of severe physical damage on the site of installation, fire, blood, earthquake, you may pick your gold server's off-site backup and proceed in a likely place. The latter is also a way to bootstrap the infrastructure in a different location. Let's say that I want to replicate this whole company in another town. The only thing I have to take is actually the content of the gold server, go to the other place, and I'm ready to replicate the whole infrastructure by carrying only one thing with me. And of course I need the equipment that I will have to buy there. Now there are a few open problems in this, so this is your turn to speak. We have managed to make this working as far as file services are concerned. We have Samba running over LDAP, and the thing works as expected. The file service is doing authentication correctly on the passwords within the directory. What we have not managed to do is to have authentication, and in particular have 2 points for authentication, a PDC-BDC approach. Also looking at the next bullet here, I suspect that we will not be finally successful with all of the Windows clients. I assume that people here have experience in replying to this question. That's why I'm saying this now. I'm sure that I will have to take some of the leftmost clients as not supported in this LAN. Also, maybe someone has solved this problem, how to auto-create home directories on first login or authentication of a user. We managed to get this done correctly with Unix logins. So if someone goes on Bronze and gets his Unix login, his home directory gets auto-created. It will be nice to be able to do this with Samba. So when a new user comes, the only thing you really have to do is go to your directory management software. We use a directory administrator, but it could be anything else. Add your user. Nothing gets created, excluding an entry in your directory, up to that point. Once the user goes and sits on a workstation and he makes his first login, then his directory gets created. It will be nice to hear if anybody has managed to do this with tampering this file for Samba within the PAMD directory of /etc PAMD SMB. How far can we stretch the rule of compartmentalization? We added, for example, a ticketing system or a mail server. We still run a few services together on the silver server or the bronze server. Maybe there are ways for these services to affect each other if a user, in purpose or by accident, spams one of these services. In this question, we may fit also things like running in chain-rooted environments or using another system or a jail or whatever. An interesting idea is to try to re-export the gold server replicated files from the bronze server. What we will have there will be the tree of yesterday. This is useful for users because they often erase a file that they really need and come on you and ask, can I get that file from the backup and stuff. It is nice if they can do it on their own. There are some questions unanswered here. For example, we are going to break the not for production initial specification. Not answered. This is a not answered problem. So, also because gold is sitting idle most of the time, it could be recycled by running on it a service like a transparent HTTP proxy, if you have a firewall or a router that supports this. It would be nice to be able to circumvent this in case of gold server failing. Another open problem. Also, which kind of printing system to use. I think the last presentation was very relevant to this question. And if there is a place for high availability. Some people will just say we need high availability, that's it. But what is the borderline for switching between a solution like this, which is a technique, which is basically a design with failover techniques, to high availability? Can someone come up and say that this is the borderline, and if you are in that case, then you need this, if you are in that case, then you need that? And that's the last slide.
Yeah, thank you. Does anybody have comments on the questions here, except for Jeremy? I know he has comments. Yeah, Jeremy. Yes, as I said, Jeremy.
Yeah, you were saying that one of your unresolved issues was being able to create the home directory for users.
Right, yes.
Well, there's actually a parameter in Samba that was created closely for that particular problem, called, I think it's add user script. What it was designed for was appliance. What the def? Well, all right. Okay. We're arguing about it. I'm going to let the man who runs it in production answer.
Yeah, I would simply use root pre-exec, so it handed the username and then grabs the home directory and makes you the home directory and so on.
Yeah, actually, I tried to make use of that script add user, but I didn't have success. So I hope that someone here has is able to
we
do this.
Try it. So we should see what failed. We should be able to fix that. Yeah. So anybody else have comments?
And another comment about the abuser thing is that it's a very Samba specific trickery, and it would be nice to do it through PAM, because
yeah,
that's the truly clean way.
There's a PAM make home deal, or PAM home deal, whatever it's called.
Sorry?
So, as the audience gets a little bit louder, maybe the main comment is, I'm hungry. yeah, thanks a lot, Fotis, for the presentation.
Thank you as well.
So I think now we